Again, thank you for your support, and we just thank God for what we've been able to see him do. And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight, Psalm 105, and I'll try not to go too fast, but I got to go fast. And the Eskimos are still trying to get used to me. The songs we sang tonight, one song usually takes about 7 minutes in an Eskimo service. Not ours, because we sing fast, okay? But they have to get used to that, because every song is like a funeral dirge to them. It's just dragged out, you know, and just... But that's just the way they are. And of course, if you've grown up in the Episcopal or Catholic Church, you know every service is like a funeral dirge, amen? Amen. All right, Psalm 105, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Now Psalm 111, 2. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endureth forever. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for these folks here tonight, and thank you, Lord, for this church. And Lord, I just praise you for its many missionaries that it supports and prays for, Lord, and it's just amazing. And yet it is a wonderful work, this church, and Lord, what it does for missions and for us. And Lord, we're so thankful, because without prayer, without support, there's not much that we can do, especially with the expenses in the Arctic and other missionary fields around the world. So we're just so thankful, Lord, tonight. I ask you, Lord, to put me behind the cross. And Lord, I just pray that we would uplift and glorify our great Savior for all that you have done in our lives and in the mission fields around the world, for Jesus' sake. Amen. You know, he says he wants the wonderful works to be remembered. He doesn't want us to forget them. And I think probably a lot of the problems with the Eskimo people, and I'm sure people everywhere, is that we have things happen in our lives, miracles. God works things and God does things that are incredible. And then a year later, we're forgetting it because we've got something else going on, you know. We're going to use the people of Israel as an example. But, you know, Peter said, I want to bring these things to remembrance. Though you know them, I still want to bring them into remembrance to you again. And he said it in 2 Peter, Stephen did it in Acts 7, went through a history of Israel. The apostles did it in Acts 2. And, of course, creation talks to about it. But I want to go to Psalm 106 and use Israel as an example. Psalm 106, verse 7. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the Red Sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. That's why you and I are saved, to make the mighty power of God be known. And the power of God is known by our transformed life. That's how people know the power of God and see the power of God in us, so we can have a testimony by how we've changed to glorify him since we've been saved. Oh, I lost my place there. All right, verse 9. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then believed they his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron hit the saint of the Lord. The earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. And a fire was kindled in their company, and the flame burned up the wicked. They made a calf in Horeb and worshipped a molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. They forget God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. Yea, they despised the pleasant land, they believed not his word. So that's what happens. One of Israel's greatest problems is they kept forgetting things. And you know, I think maybe like we do sometimes, they look at what happened. And you know, Moses is their focus. You know, Moses did this. And Moses, what are you doing? How come you brought us out of here so we could die in the wilderness? And it wasn't Moses. It was God. And that's what we forget. And God, have mercy on me if I ever forget that it was not Darian and I or anybody else that's been in the Arctic. It's never us. It's God. And if we ever forget that, we're in deep trouble. Amen. It wasn't Moses. It was God. In Hosea 8:14, the Bible says that Israel has forgotten his maker, but buildeth temples. You know what the world, flesh, and devil are out to do is to make you forget all the wonders that God's done in your life and in my life. And let us just go on thinking we can do it in the flash. Or just a chance that this happened. Or, oh yeah, well, I know that happened. Yeah, I know God was in it, but you know, we don't give him the glory for things. Number one, the wonder of salvation. Psalm 40, verse 1. Me being a Roman Catholic before I was saved, any Roman Catholic that's saved is a miracle. Amen. 40 verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and hear and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And that's the testimony of all of us. I mean, I remember we had a fellow named Jim Ferris in our church, and the church Rochester had a Jericho Sunday. And they went around their block and every day put a track in the door. Or the mailbox. It wasn't legal then. Or I don't know if it was legal. It ain't legal now. I know that. And then every day, 7 days. And then the seventh day, they knocked on the door. And me and Darian were Catholics, but we were searching for the truth. And we told them, nah, we don't need that. We read all that stuff. We agree with all that stuff, you know, but we're Catholic. And, you know, slammed the door in his face. But he came back. And then by the next time he came back, we were ready to talk. We talked about the Word of God. We had questions. He said, why don't you let my daughter come over and babysit for your kids and you can come over to our house and we can talk more about it. So the next week we did that. And that day, Darianne got saved. And a couple weeks later, I got saved. And we ended up at First Bible Baptist Church there and serving the Lord. It took us a while. We were going to convert the Catholic Church. We said, well, when they find out, you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. I mean, they're all going to want to get saved, you know. But it wasn't quite that way. So God worked the situations out, a lot of details and everything. But finally we got there and God worked that miracle. Just because somebody decided to have a burden to put a track in somebody's door and knock on the door, you never know who's searching for the truth and who was just ready. We were ready to dump that Catholic church. You know what got us? Because we had to decide, are you going to trust what the church says or what the Bible says? And when you can get a Catholic to say, okay, I'll believe what the Bible says, then they can get saved. You got to reject that church. When we think of Brother Ferris and his dedication and praying for us for a year, God's working in our lives, the gentlest. You know what David said? Thy gentleness had made me great. And that's the way God worked with us. Now, sometimes we need a little bit rougher than gentleness. I know I do, but I'm thankful for God's being gentle. People getting saved, the first people to get saved. I remember Renee Govluck was so happy when she got saved, when she got baptized. And she had to go through her husband just not even wanting to talk about it. And when she got baptized, she wanted so bad for him to come. And when she got baptized, they walked together down the street. We watched him through the window and said, man, he's going to come. And she walked into the church to get baptized, and he just kept on going. And that broke her heart. And she never came back for a long time. Angela in Point Lay. I remember I was going to Point Lay, and I would stay at Moses Tuckbrook's house. I'd fly in there. He'd pick me up with a snow machine, drag me into town. And then I'd stay there until 11 o'clock, where I tried to find the key. I had to go through all the the whiskey drinking and poker playing houses, because the guy always had the key to get into the community center. That's all he did all night on a Saturday night. So I just knock everybody's door and mess up everybody's party. So I finally got the key. And one time I was standing there in Moses' house, you know, having a cup of coffee, and all of a sudden this door busts open, and doors bust open, and I'm just standing there at the kitchen, and this big lady comes in, you know, and she says, "Hey, I heard there's a preacher in town." And I said, "Man, I didn't hear anything like that. Did anybody else hear that?" "No," I said, "I'm the preacher." And she said, "Well, when's church going to be? Because there's got to be more to life than this." And she'd been speedballing and drugs and drinking and everything. And her family was a wreck and everything. And she came to service that day and she got saved. And she got victory over that stuff. Homeschooling her kid. And, you know, just to think back of those things, those are miracles. And you don't get to see that every day. But you know what? They're miracles of God. You know what my claim to fame was? I was there. Thank God it wasn't a Jehovah's Witness that was there. When she asked, "There's got to be something better than this." I don't know what they would have said, but, you know, we're the watchtower, you know, we're the watchtower here. The wonder of God's call to the ministry. "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." That's my one of my verses that keeps me through it. We had four families in Rochester that were called to the Arctic. And we used to have, we were going to institute, you know, and we used to have these little Arctic fellowship parties, you know, not party, but Arctic fellowship gatherings, you know, and get together and they talk about, "Oh, you got to learn to fly an airplane. You got to learn to, you know, do this. And you got to be able to, you know, load your own ammunition. You got to be a great Mr. Hunter, you know, got to be able to fix a snow machine and all this kind of, build a house, all this kind of stuff." And I was a banker. I mean, I didn't know how to do nothing. Okay. I mean, I had a little, J.C. Whitney shotgun that I got from Darian's mom when he died. And I would go rabbit hunting with my dog. And then I learned how to shoot a bow and went bow hunting. But I never hit nothing, never got nothing. So it really doesn't make any difference. So Dave Bickers was in town one time. And I told him, I said, "You know, I don't know how to do any of this stuff." He goes, "You just learn your Bible, learn how to preach, and God will take care of the rest." And that's the truth. Never let circumstances or obstacles dictate your call of God. And that's what happens. You know, you think of Africa, New Guinea, the Arctic. The people think of these places. "I don't ever want to go there." Listen, the weather is the least part of your problems. Amen. I'll tell you that right now. My biggest problem is stupidity. That's my biggest problem. So don't ever stop praying for me. Okay. The first time we got into Wainwright, we pulled in that little shack. There's three 55-gallon drums full of somebody else's honey buckets. Okay. We don't have any toilets. Okay. So you just get the honey buckets and you take them out and dump in there. They freeze and you take them out to the dump. That's Arctic sanitation. And then they had little cardboard boxes there, about six of them, full of frozen honey buckets. And I want my kids to be out there and play, you know. And so I said, "I got to get this place cleaned up." So I had a sled and a snow machine. So I'd take it out to the dump, one load at a time, you know. And this is, it's March. It's about 25 below. And so I'm out there. And after my third or fourth, I said, "Okay, one more load." Okay. And I put all the boxes on my 12-foot sled. And out they go. And they have a little snow fence out there. And you go through the snow fence and follow the trail out to the dump. Well, I was tired and my eyes were burning because I didn't have any sunglasses on. Another wise thing when the sun's up like that and bright and 25 below and white snow everywhere, you know, you're blinded. So I said, "I'm going to take a little shortcut." So I cut in more towards the beach, was going out there and I'm going along. All of a sudden I can feel the sled really kind of bogged down. And I, you know, me, usually I just go, you know, just go for it, you know, but I stopped. And I stopped and walked ahead and I looked ahead and about 20 feet in front of me was this big crevice going down to the beach. And I would have went straight down 20 feet with 400 pounds of somebody else's honey buckets behind me. They wouldn't have found me till the springtime. And when they found me, they would have said, "Leave the guy there." So I learned that they have trails for a purpose. Okay. Moved into Wainwright, and it's the first house and all that stuff that's going on. I got that first church building, almost burned it down a week after we got it, trying to thaw out the fuel oil underneath the house. And I unhooked it from the stove and My son was out there on the 55-gallon tank. I said, open it up, you know, and I got my Burns-O-Matic under there, you know, burning that little 3/8-inch copper tube, you know, and going like that. And all of a sudden, I heard a gurgling. And so I said, I think it's coming, you know. So I moved my torch away, and all of a sudden, phew, that stuff started blowing out of that pipe. And I yelled, turn it off, and to my son. Of course, he's like a 10, you know. And so my gloves caught on fire. I threw my gloves on the floor. I ran out with that, threw it out in the snow, and come back, and there's this just little, about 2-foot square burning on the new carpet I just put in there. And I stomped it out with my boots and just got on my face and praised God. I didn't burn down the $20,000 church building that I hadn't even met in yet. You know. We got through buying the land there and buying the property there without going to jail. That was a blessing. The Point Lay Church, that was a miracle. Brother Dutton, everything. All the men that got called up there to take the works over that we did. You know, just a blessing. Just God just working miracle after miracle in spite of me. The wonder of God's protection. I'd be out whaling, you know, hauling muck tuck back. They're usually in Wainwright, the whaling camps are about 20 to 25 miles away. And so you have a trail that goes out by the ocean and then it goes, you chop up literal icebergs with a little pick. Until they're little round pieces of ice so you can drive a snow machine over them. And that's how you make the road out to where the open water is. And we're doing that, for 3 days. Until you got a 50-foot whale, it takes days to get all that muck tucked back. You got slabs like this on your sled, and you take one at a time in. So I'm going in a town, I was wiped out. I was tired, I was exhausted. And so I'm on the trail. I said, well, I can't keep my eyes. I was falling asleep at the handlebars, amen. And so I stopped and I pulled off to the side and I kicked my heels up on the backrest and I took a nap. And all of a sudden I heard somebody shaking me. I heard another snow machine come by and he said, hey, Serena, what are you doing? And I said, I can't keep my eyes open. I'm taking a nap. He goes, you're taking a nap out here. There's polar bears everywhere. You got a slab of whale muck tuck on there. And he says, you know, what are you asking for trouble? He said, where's your rifle? I said, I ain't got no rifle. And he said, what's the matter with you, you know? I have a knack of forgetting to take my rifle or pistol with me when I go out and do it. Because you don't go nowhere there without a pistol. Anyways, God takes care of us. I remember out in me and old Warner Showiak, my first hunting buddy, and Warner said, let's go hunt caribou hunting, you know, and you never turn it down. Esco asked you to go hunting. So he was sitting on the back of my snow machine, and we're going, and all of a sudden I see this polar bear, you know, about 20 or 30 yards ahead of us. I pointed over there, he goes, ah, don't just go. I said, no, and so me, I'm stopping. I'm sorry. He's got the right of way, you know, or she or whatever it was. And so I just pull slow down. He said, get going, you know. So I took off, and this polar bear ran right in front of the snow machine, almost hit it. And he said, just keep going. I'm watching that thing, you know, in the corner of my eye, and it's just watching us go by. And just thank God for his provision. That's why you never stop praying for missionaries. Amen. We're not all smart as we look. I know I don't look very smart, but I'm not even as smart as I look, okay? The wonder of God's people praying for us. The wonder of souls saved. And you know, our little church, I've gone back and see, you know, somebody get saved or things happen that I don't understand why God lets it happen. And 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 18. Kind of the testimony of the Arctic ministry, at least in our lives. 2 Samuel 7, 18. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord. And he said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? You know, a lot of Christians think Christianity is boring. It's because you're not in the battle. No missionary thinks the ministry is boring, believe me. He goes on to say, and this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God. But thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord? And I say, why would God allow me to go up and see the things that I've seen? I mean, people go up there, they want to see whales. We see whales all the time. We want to see, you know, oh, I want to see the little seals bobbing up and down. We just ignore all that stuff. We see that all the time. And people would pay thousands to see what we see on a daily basis. And that's just the physical things and the beauty of desolation. I think desolation is beautiful. I used to want to have a log cabin surrounded by real tall pine trees, you know, and a little cabin in there in the woods and everything. I couldn't live there if I wanted to now. I mean, I got claustrophobia. I want it wide open, and I want to see no trees, okay? I mean, I love trees, but, you know, you can only take so much of those. You just go, I got to get out of here and open the space. But why me? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. Amen. God knows my heart. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God. For there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. God is great. And never, ever take your Bible for granted, or your church for granted, or your salvation for granted. Never take that. Never make it become old hat. Because your life, saved on your way to heaven today, is a wonder of God. Never forget that. God is a God of victory. I'm going to go real quick here and finish up. Don't lose the wonder of personal victories, crucifying the flesh, doing the thing, seeing God work in your children. People say today, teenagers, in Point Hope, if any one of them teenagers says to me again, I'm bored, I'm going to kill them, okay? I mean, what is our life? To make these, to make it go, 400 miles an hour during the church service so they're never bored. I mean, you can't stop. More. Quit watching all that stupid stuff you watch on TV. You might have some kind of an imagination or something, It's boring. But it's not just young people. People say, preaching is boring. No, preaching is boring. I see people fall asleep in the church all the time. Giving is boring, I heard preachers say one time, the most boring service all year round is a missions conference. Because if heart is not in missions, all they're talking about is giving and praying. And that's boring if you're not right with God, amen. Reading the Bible is boring to people. Praying? Are you kidding? People stop and pray for an hour. I was with Dr. Green over there at Parker Memorial, and he came there, and he's 90, going to be 91 years old, can hardly move now in the chair. And we were talking, and he's got this bunch of paper like this. He sits there in his chair and prays 6 hours straight a day. For missionaries, and they support a lot of missionaries there, and just sits there and prays. And he's not bored at all. He's excited to do it. He's 91 years old. Life is boring because you're either lost or you've lost the wonder of what God has done for you. You know what God said? God said in Malachi, they said, what a weariness is it? And God says, you weary me. People say, I'm bored with this serving the Lord. And God said, I'm bored with you. You ever think of that? God's pretty bored with the way we serve. Amen. They wearied God, he said in Malachi chapter. Well, let's finish something. Psalm 50, verse 22, and we'll be done. No, we can't begin to tell you everything that's happened up there. People try to kick you out of town. People hate you. People call the cops. And, a guy called me, Point Hope, called the cops. He said I threatened him and his girlfriend with a shotgun. The cops come over to my house. They're having a meeting on you to kick you out of town. Because you threatened him with a shotgun, and I said, listen, I don't even have a shotgun, but now that you mention it, maybe a .44 will work, amen, Guy shot my dog. We had a beautiful Malamute. He should come over and shot my dog and everything, swearing, cursing at my girls and calling them all kinds of filthy names. So, we did the Christian thing, amen. We went over there and smacked him in the, no, I didn't do that. But, so, Darianne makes a bowl of brownies or put some chick tracks under there. You know, you read the soul winning stories, you know, and then they're all supposed to get saved. You know, and so bring it over there, you know, and give it to him, give it to his girlfriend. And he gets home from work, comes over and starts swearing, cursing, takes that dish and throws it at my window, you know, cursing and swearing, "Don't you ever come over." I said, "Well, that worked well. Amen." Then I played basketball with the guys on Tuesday nights, and I was playing basketball, and he was on the other team, you know, and everything. And after it's all over, he comes over and shakes my hand. "Good game, Nick." I said, "Good game, Nick. I don't know. I'll smack you right in the mouth, pal." You know, I went to Point Lay, and I got off preaching Point Lay, and Tony Henry was there, and he said, "Hey, we heard you killed so and so last night with a shotgun." I said, "Well, good news travels fast, amen." You know, people just, but you know what? He got his. He's in jail today. I hope this doesn't be recorded right now. The wonders of God's protection with our children. Most of you know about the tragedy with my 14-year-old when he attempted suicide and shot himself in the head with a hunting rifle. And God just worked a miracle. So you believe in miracles? Absolutely. When I came out there and saw him in a pool of blood and his eyes just straight up and no breath, I just kneeled down there, and Darianne came running out and said, "God, if he's not saved, don't let him die." And right then he went like that and breathed in. And to make a long story short, God healed him of that. Of course, he's crippled now, but can't walk real well on his left leg, and his left arm is useless. But God saved him 10 years later. And when that kid came out of that, he was mad because it didn't work. And you should try living with a kid for 2 years. When if he had a chance to do it again, he'd do it and see how much sleep you get. And so finally, at my son Daryl's wedding, it was just right after that, he went back to Fairbanks. And we were at my dad's house in Syracuse. And he called me, "Dad, I got saved." And I said what a normal Yankee would say, "Get out of here." And I said, "I don't buy it. You know, I'm sorry. I've heard that way too many times, you know." He said, no, really. I was doing drugs or something. And Pastor Duffett came over and he led me to the Lord. And I'm going to get baptized when you get back, you know. And he did. And he came up to Point Hope and helped us. And he said, "I wanted to go to Bible college." So he ended up going down to a Landmark Baptist down there in Florida, and went there 4 years and got through that, taught himself to read and write Italian. And he's been a missionary in Italy now he's married, believe it or not. Somebody actually married him. And we went over to see him 2 years ago. And now they got their own building there and everything. We've been ministering there for about 8 years in Italy with Brother Mazzaferri first. And now he's got his own place. And they're just excited to be there because God works miracles. Don't ever think God can't work a wonder for you. He can. He does. Every time the doors of this church are open, God's ready to do a wonder and work a miracle in somebody's heart. Trouble is, everybody's heart's closed. He's not going to work a miracle in somebody who has a closed heart to him. Don't lose the wonder of God's salvation, the transformed life that we can be to other people, show them the way that it is real. It's real. Leading others to Christ, ministering to him, doing something for Almighty God. And, of course, the promises we have in his word. You know, who am I and what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? We've been through a lot of stuff there, Ann and I, but I wouldn't trade it for anything because there's nothing greater than serving God on the mission field. Of course, it's nice to have churches like this praying for you. Believe me, it makes a big difference. I know there's missionaries up there, and a lot of the guys say, "Oh, I'm going to go up there, you know, and I don't need a mission board, and I don't need this." Well, nobody needs a mission board anyway. But, you know, that's all. I said, I tell people, I got my own mission board. I'm the founder, director, and the only one in it. And that's the way it's going to stay. Amen. Daryl comes back, "Dad, can I be in your mission?" "Absolutely not. Make your own mission." Amen. No, I didn't say that. But, you know, you go up there and they want to, I'm going to work. But you know what? The guys that have gone up there and worked, instead of having missionary support, they falter. You know what takes over? Their job. I've seen it. I've seen it. I could give you names. I like to have, I know it's a pain, you know, furlough is a pain in the neck. And, you know, deputation's a pain in the neck, you know, physically speaking. But to have 60 churches praying for you all the time is what makes the ministry work. But, you know, everybody wants the easy road in. And you know what? When I got in there, I'll tell you one story and I'm done. I promise, preacher. When I was going and I was at Rochester on deputation, and old Dave Bickish came in and we went out to lunch. And he said, "What are you doing, Sereno?" And I said, "Well, I said, Darianne's going to have a baby, and then we're going to stay here for another, through the winter, and she has the baby. Then we're going to go up in the spring and everything." And she says, "Well, and I'll get some more support." He goes, "How much support you got?" I said, $1,600 a month. He goes, $1,600 a month? What are you doing here for?" And I said, "Well, you know, they say I'm supposed to have 2,500 to 3,000. You know, we got, I don't know how many kids we had, four kids or whatever, I don't know, five." And he said, "You know, they have babies all the time in Fairbanks." He said, "You know what you need to do, Sereno? You need to pack up your family and get up there to Alaska, and you need to freeze and starve just like my family had to freeze and starve and learn how to be a real missionary." And so I canceled all my meetings and went up to Fairbanks, met Pastor Duffett, got a place, a little place for us to stay for 5 months so she had the baby, and then went up, and that's what we did, never turned back. You say you recommend that? Absolutely not. We didn't starve. We froze, but we didn't starve. Amen. But you know what? A willing heart, and God takes care of the rest. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, so much for these folks here. It's a blessing to be in this church, and so thankful, Lord, for this church. It's prayer. It's faithful support. This church has never missed a support for any year since they started supporting us. I can't say that for a lot of churches. I'm thankful for their faithfulness. I pray that you bless them and strengthen them and, Lord, give them grace. And, Lord, work the miracles in this church that need to be worked for folks that are sick and those that are hurting. But if there's anyone here tonight that has lost the wonder of their salvation and don't think that serving God is exciting or don't think serving God is what they want to do, don't let them be unthankful for their salvation or unthankful for the wonders that have been done in their lives. And if any of them here feel called to a mission field, don't let them be afraid to go, because you're faithful. And it's not us. It's you that we need to bring glory to. Lord, thank you, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Preacher.